This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I left the city, I've been browsing. Treading water that they drown. My head on a swivel. Yeah. It's only really my surroundings.
Hello and welcome to episode 223 of the Smash Accept podcast. I'm your host, Michael Royer. You can find me on Twitter at DynastyDadFF. Today, what we are going to do is we are your draft position physician. Say that three times fast. But what we're here to do is try to give you guys some windows of where to trade into, how you can move into picks, how you can move out of picks, just a lot of different scenarios other than I have the 103, I'm going to take Malik Nabers. There are options. Once you draft that player, the options shrink. So we want to give you as many options, as many opportunities to make trades, and as many opportunities to extract value before the rookie draft happens in 30 days. Nobody better to chop that up with than my main man, Snoog. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Dad. I'm ready to be this draft value position physician and help everybody kind of figure out when you're on the clock what to do, because that's what matters, right? You're on the clock. Your rookie picks at peak value just based off market value. Are you going to make that pick and potentially lose value or gain value, or are you just going to trade for an established vet that's already has their value? You know the ceiling, you know the floor. So that's the tough part. And a lot of people struggle because there's people with 15 rookie picks and they make all 15 picks and yeah, they end up rebuilding for 4 years. So you got to be able to get rid of rookie fever, buy guys that you want that are like the Devontae Smiths, the Mike Evans, go compete, go win some championships, but also get your Malik Nabers, your Marvin Harrison Juniors, and your Roma Dunze. So I'm excited to dive into this because this is a struggle that a lot of people have, including ourselves, right? Like even us, we're like, should I trade this for that on this? Mm-hmm. Like you get stuck in a predicament sometimes. So you got to be able to kind of work your way through it.
Yeah, for sure. And the way I look at it is we have the next 30 days before the NFL draft, a little bit less than that when this podcast comes out, where you have value windows. And those windows are going to change after the NFL draft. And being able to assess where those values are, where you can move in your rookie draft to get more value, this is how Dynasty is won. We talk about how it's so cyclical where, you know, you want to buy vets at the right time. You want to sell rookies at the right time. You want to do these things. And we're almost to a point where we've told you to hold on to your rookie picks. They're going to hit peak value very soon. The biggest thing that I start to look at this time of year is where are my clear tiers? Where do I want to buy into? And I know a lot of people are asking about this right now. And Snoog, mine have changed. It was, hey, you know, it was a tier of 1 and 2 were one, then 3 and 4, then all the way to 6. Right now, I got 3 windows for that first round. I want to get inside the top 8 because, you know, I don't love J.J. McCarthy, but I think there's going to be 8 guys that are worthy of top 4 startup draft capital pretty soon. Then I want to get inside the top 3 because for me, tier 1 now is, for me, it's Caleb Williams all by himself. We've done multiple podcasts about Caleb Williams, how important that superflex position is, how important his value is, what Chicago's done for me. And I'm with you now, Snoog. 2 and 3 for me, Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. are such special wide receivers, such elite talent that I don't think have a bust opportunity. I think 2 and 3 are fantastic. 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, you got 4 quarterbacks. You got Bowers. You got Adunze. Some drafts, Snoog, you're going to come away with Brock Bowers at 108. or Roma Dunze at 108. You know what I mean? But I think those quarterbacks, until we start seeing landing spots, until things start to move, that tier's gotten a little bit there. But I want to be inside that top eight.
Yeah, exactly. That top eight is key. And how long have I been saying it, Dad, that that 108 is going to be the Goldilocks of this draft? And it already is, right? You're going to most likely get Roma Dunze or Brock Bowers in any given format as long as it's super flex. I'm all for it because I was telling you, what, 2 months ago that I'll take Roma Dunze or Brock Bowers at the 104, 105 if I have to. Because I'm that high on those guys. Like, I think Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. are the two best wide receivers in this class, with Roma Dunze slightly trailing from behind. We saw Matt Harmon's reception perception. I mean, that thing lit up green like a Christmas tree. The best one since 2019, I believe. Like, Roma Dunze is a Drake London. He's a Chris Olave. He's a hybrid with Michael Thomas. He can run every route. He wins consistently. He gets open consistently. He beats press coverage. He's as alpha X as you can get, and you're going to get him at the 108, 107. He's landing spot proof for me. I don't care if he's a Giant. I don't care if he's a Titan. I will take him at that pick. Because in my theory, and this is what I like to tell people, is at worst, he's a Drake London. He's a Chris Olave, right? He's in a team with a situation where he gets a million targets and gets 1,000 yards, but the QB play sucks so bad, he can't get over that wide receiver two hump, but the value holds, right? He's not Quentin Johnson going out there putting up 400 yards. He's getting 800 to 1,000 and 140 targets, and everyone's like, next year. Oh, wait, not next year? Okay, the year after. And he's still 23, 24 years old. So that value holds versus if you miss on a Jaden Daniels that's 24, 25 years old, comes in, sucks year one, and then everyone's like, okay, now he's a fourth, fifth round starter pick. Like we saw with Fields. We saw it with Lawrence. He went from a first to a fourth round starter pick. We saw it with Trey Lance, all these guys. So I think there's a little bit more value hold in a rookie wide receiver. I think it's just the most safe, bust-proof position that you can draft out of all of them. And I think Brock Bowers even slots into that tier too, because we haven't seen anything like him, right? People compare Kyle Pitts, but Brock Bowers is a different animal than Kyle Pitts was, man. Like, this is a guy that led the best team in college football for three straight years, broke out as a true freshman. They're not the same prospect.
We're going to love these now. 108. For me, I'm slightly trying to move from 112, 111, 110 to 109 cheap, do a quick flip-flop. Because there is still that opportunity of Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Worthy, one of those guys going to the Bills, or someone just legit like that, or a guy like Blake Corum going to the Cowboys, where you're just like, okay, I got to get in here. This now has more value, and it will be worth more on draft day. But wanted to talk about those windows. This is not exactly what the show is about today, is your draft position positions. I will go first with the 101, and I know months ago I was saying, you know what, let's tear back. Let's move in. I am so confident in Caleb Williams. I've moved him to my QB8 above Anthony Richardson. I think the only guys better than him right now are Herbert, Burrow, Stroud, Lamar, Mahomes, Jalen, and Josh. And that's it. And those are all first name guys. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, they're so, Caleb is going to be someone there where you say Mahomes, you don't say the full name. Caleb Williams is going to be that guy. And I want to draft him in my situations. If I am trying to do something with that 101 pick, you know, the only players that are equivalent of that, I think he's past where Ja'Marr Chase is in value. The only guy that I think position player that I would consider above him is Justin Jefferson. You know, like if I'm in an area where I have, and a lot of you guys are sending me this, I have Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and my third quarterback is CJ Stroud. Okay, you're crazy. Now's the area where you get Justin Jefferson and maybe get a little bit of a 2-for-2 type move. Or you move and you trade Caleb for CeeDee Lamb plus, or you trade, you know, you get into that area. There are very few players, and we did a whole podcast on it, so make sure you guys go check that out. I believe it was episode 218, where we're talking about if you're trying to tier off, you know, a guy like Caleb Williams. I would do it for Kyler. I would move down for maybe Purdy, Jordan Love, but I'm not going too much further than that. Like, this is someone that's going to be an elite difference maker, and there are very few scenarios. Snoog, I'm not even all that excited to try to tier up like I was before. Value is right. I saw someone the other day give up Caleb Williams straight up for Joe Burrow. I saw someone give up Caleb Williams and a second for CJ Stroud. Those kind of things, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take the more well-known commodity. But at his age, at his upside, at his ceiling, this is someone that wants to be great. I think he truly is going to be.
Yeah, you nailed it there. And with the 102, I'm going to go with Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, this took me 2 seconds to come up with a decision. I think he's as damn near generational as you can get. I mean, generational needs to be used in like that once every 5 to 10 years type of wideout. I mean,
not every year.
As a prospect, he is like that, though. Like, he's in that tier of guys. He's at like a Jamar Chase level. He's like an Amari Cooper, Julio Jones type prospect. And his doubled rate, right? He was doubled on 16.7% of routes. Like, that is ridiculous. If that doesn't tell you the type of prospect he is, then you're doing something wrong. He checks every single box analytically. He checks every box on film. He can win on all three levels. I mean, he's a nuanced route runner. He has great catch radius. He can moss people. He can catch through traffic. His ball tracking, he checks every box. Mm-hmm. Can't go wrong with that at the 102. You're getting a top 5 to 6 dynasty wide receiver with upside. I'll take that all day there.
So with that, we got to start talking about it. If you have the 101 and you want, a lot of people say, hey, I want Marvin Harrison Jr. at the 101. I think there's a value gap there for sure in my mind. If you have the 101, you know, and you really want Marvin Harrison Jr., what do you tell the guys that are saying that? I've always been saying try to trade down. What is the plus that you would accept if you were at the 101 to make that flip-flop?
I mean, I look at it like Trevor Lawrence and Jamar Chase, right? Like, look at the gap between those two in rookie drafts and in Superflex startups. Like, I think Chase was a 3rd or 4th round startup pick and Trevor Lawrence was a 1st round mm-hmm. at the time. And then look at the swing now. So, I mean, the difference is Trevor Lawrence went to the Jacksonville Jaguars and Cale Williams is going to a Chicago Bears team with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, right. Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift, and a pick 9. So, I mean, this Bears team's loaded out the gills. They're ready. They're bringing in Caleb to be that guy. We haven't seen a 101 pick with this type of value go to this type of situation at the QB position, like, ever. It's been a long time. So, I think Cale Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., there's a gap for sure, even though Marvin is that pedigree of a player and as a rookie. It's at least a mid to early 2nd, in my opinion.
I saw some trades recently, and I got to get your opinion. A guy asked me, he said, hey, I'm trying to repeat. I have the 102. The 102 and a late 25 first or CeeDee Lamb.
I would definitely go with the 102. Give me Marvin Harrison Jr.
Say, I'm taking CeeDee Lamb there because we already know what this is going to be if it's a late 25 first. I like that class, and this is where things get interesting is like, you know, would it sway you if you said Jamar Chase? I think Chase and Lamb, you're still getting a guy that's in the prime of their career where you can buy them for this. I'm very confident in the 2 and 3 of Marvin and Malik Nabers, but mm-hmm. I think if I can give up an early 2nd or what would be a late 25 first, I'm okay with that. You know, I saw someone the other day, and I don't know how they pulled off the 102 plus a 26 first for Justin Jefferson. I'm smashing that. Give me Jefferson. We already know what it's going to be. And yeah. I'm super confident in Marvin Harrison. I'm just trying to say if you're trying to move up, what's the lowest that you tier down to outside this class? I mean, if you're going to the wide receiver position, would you tier down to Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk, or does it got to be more of a Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Puka Nacua? Like, where's that line for you where you're like, okay, I don't feel comfortable like I'm being safe and getting the same return.
Yeah, I think it all depends on your team needs and kind of where you're at in your dynasty league. Like, if you're a team that's all in and you need that Tyreek Hill piece to set you over the top, I'd be willing to tier down there and get some added first round draft capital on top. I'd also like to go to like a Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Drake London type if I can get some good draft capital on top of a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. or even Malik Nabers, if you can get a plus to tier back to like a London or a Olave. The plus might not be as big for Malik Nabers. So I think when you get to the Nabers pick, you're like, I'm either getting Olave or London, maybe in a 2nd or Nabers. So I think mm-hmm. you pick your poison there. But with Marv, it's a big enough plus where you can get an early 2nd, a late 1st on top of London, possibly to go off of Marvin Harrison Jr. So I think that could be worth it. But like, if you're contending and you can go get yourself a Tyreek Hill, or you could go get yourself like a Davante Adams, Stephon Diggs, you're looking at maybe two plus first added on to a Diggs, added on to an Adams or a Mike Evans. That could be a good move too, because maybe next year you land Judkins and then you land Evan Stewart or Luther Burden. Like, you never know where those firsts are going to be. That's a move that you could make if you're trying to put all the marbles in for the championship.
For me, the lowest I'm willing to do is kind of an AJ Brown plus a little bit. But I see what you're saying. If I'm going after Hill or Adams or those guys, I'm trying to use other assets to move into that area. I like what you're saying with the two firsts. The gap has closed between two and three. To me, it's almost non-existent at this point. If you can get a second on top of to move from two to three, I'm for it, because best case scenario, Marvin Harrison falls to three. Worst case scenario, Malik Nabers is there at three. Malik Nabers right now, let's look at some things. Yards per route run in college between Chase, Jefferson, and Nabers. Nabers 3.64, Chase 3.52, Jefferson 2.64. You look at what he's been able to do. The most receptions and yards in LSU history. Absolutely phenomenal in 2023. 86 receptions, 1,546 yards, 14 touchdowns. I mean, dude, this guy is almost every year except where we saw Jamar Chase, he would be the wide receiver one. And I'm even saying when Jefferson came out, because Jefferson was not the RB wide receiver one in his class. Aside from Jamar Chase and Marvin Harrison Jr., like, we would say this guy is generational. We would say, you know what? I'm all in on Malik Nabers. He's that good. I'm with you now. Like, I have this pot where I am totally in. I want to get as many opportunities as possible. I want to get him in there. If I'm trying to move off of that 103, I still think if I'm rebuilding, I could move to 106. If I'm a quarterback needy team, I still think the gap between 103 and 106 is a first. Mm-hmm. I still think it's there, and I'm okay with that. You know, if you built the right way, you know, I have teams right now where I have Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Drake London, Chris Olave, like, no quarterbacks, but like six wide receiver ones. I'm okay with that. From moving from three to six, I get that first. Maybe I get Bowers. Maybe I get May. Maybe I get one of those guys and I move back. And I'm fine with that, because then you're getting a little bit of extra value. Wide receiver wise, if I could add a little bit to get to CeeDee Lamb, I would do it. But there are very few moves I'm making in this situation. If you are risk averse, there are a lot of teams that come to me and say, Dad, you know, like, not every wide receiver hits. You know, like, what if Malik Nabers goes to the Jets and he's like 1A, 1B with Garrett Wilson? Or what if he goes to a situation we don't like? You know, what do you do? Okay, if you want to right now for the 103, you can get Puka Nacua. You can get Amon-Ra St. Brown, where you know what the situation is. And if you're not worried about that, I'm perfectly fine with it. You know, I'm okay selling out. But I think if you do that, if you did that in 2019 or 2020, 2021, I should say. If you did that and you sold Davante Adams, you got Adams for Jamar Chase, you're kind of kicking yourself now. Like, this is an area where you moved the wrong direction. And I'm that confident Malik Nabers will be. He's right now my wide receiver 9 in Dynasty. I feel like he is a wide receiver 1 lock.
Yeah, exactly. And he's been my 103 for a long time now. He's a guy that I've liked since he was a freshman in college. He's one of those guys that I followed closely throughout the process, and I love to see the value now on him. I love the big breakout in year three that he had, finally getting the respect that he deserves, because he's a guy that had a ton of talent, ton of upside as an athlete in general, as a receiver. Mm-hmm. And now he's getting that type of buzz. But one thing I want to highlight is we're still seeing people that have him in that 5 to 6 range.
Yeah,
rookie
it's
draft.
Gonna happen. It's going to happen depending how aggressive you are with quarterbacks. I mean, like, one of the guys that listens to the show all the time, Gavin, just said, is May the 102 in Superflex if Minnesota trades up? I think there's going to be a scenario where you're going to see Jaden Daniels, Drake May, in some situations, even J.J. McCarthy go all the way up to 102, which slots Marvin down to 103. I'm seeing, you know, mocks where Malik Nabers goes to 5 or 6. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm just trying to get into windows, because worst case scenario, you know, best case scenario, we already talked about worst case scenario, you move into 103, right? And you move to that spot. And sorry, Gavin, we'll jump back to that one. But worst case scenarios, you jump up to 103. Like, you trade from the 107 to the 103. You get Malik Nabers. But the guy at 102 takes J.J. McCarthy. Now you could potentially move back to 4 and get some of that value back. You know what I mean? Or you're still getting your guy. But there's so many more options when you're in those windows. And I think 2 and 3 is a window. Now you got a decision to make at 4. You know, and Snoog, I think there is a value gap between 1 and 2 and 3. And then I think 2 and 3 in some leagues is going to have a value gap. In some, they could see that the tier from 2 to 6 is very flat. And I think what I'm telling everybody to do right now is look at the guy drafting behind you.
Okay? Exactly.
He has no quarterbacks. Okay, he's probably going to go Jaden Daniels at 3. He's probably going to go Drake May at 3. Look at the guy in front of you. Okay, he has Joe Burrow. He has Kyler Murray and CJ Stroud. Okay, he's probably not going to go Caleb Williams. Start to mentally make some moves. Start to get into an area where, okay, I'm going to try to trade with this guy. I'm going to try to, you know, flip-flop something. Maybe he doesn't value his quarterbacks as much, and he's going to be able to do something in that area. And now is the time to do that before the NFL draft.
Exactly. And that's what matters, right? Because you're getting your 103 at possibly 5 or 6. There's a ton of fantasy football players out there that are going to draft for team needs and not value. I will never, ever, ever be that guy. I will always take my guys. Last year, I was taking Gibbs 103, 104. I didn't care. I didn't care if it was super flex. I had the 103, 104 and like 4 6-point super flex 12-man leagues. I took Jahmyr Gibbs in all of them. And that's when you're confident in a guy. Like, that's my Malik Nabers this year. That's my Garrett Wilson in 2022 when I was taking him 102 in every single league. I had the 102. There was leagues I was getting him 105, but I was taking him, willing to take him 102. And that's how I feel about Nabers, right? I'm going to take him 103 in some leagues where I have the opportunity. And there's going to be leagues I'm probably sitting at 5 or 6 and I get him because there's guys that like Daniels because he went top 3 in the NFL draft. There's guys that want McCarthy because he went to the Vikings. There's guys that want Drake May because he went 3 or 4 in the NFL draft. This is our time to capitalize on another damn near elite wide receiver prospect. He's the Odell Beckham Jr. He's a Garrett Wilson. Mm-hmm. He's one of those CeeDee Lamb type level prospects. And he's hidden in a class with Marvin Harrison Jr. And that's the fun of this, yeah. Right? Like, you're,
well, this is Julio and AJ again, right?
It's a like, bulletproof wide out.
This isn't like, oh, your 1A is up here and your 1B is down here. This is Julio and AJ Green. Like, this is two elite level guys that are going to run this game for years. And I'm excited about that. How do you tell people that want to move up now? Like, how do you anticipate doing that if you're going from 6 to 3? Like, how do you move yourself into that area before draft capital? Because so many people are worried about losing trades. They're worried about, you know, oh, did I give up too much? Did I move into that area? Did I get enough? Didn't I?
Yeah.
You know, and I keep telling people, if you're convicted on a player, if this is someone that you're like, okay, you know, and we've both had our guys that we've hit on in the past where it's like, I'm going to move up and get this guy. Those are guys for you. What are you willing to pay from 106, 107 to get up to 103?
You see, I'm only looking to move back. If anything,
I agree.
101, 101, 102, 103. Those are the three spots I'll move up to. But after that, I'm not moving up to 4, 5, or 6.
Yeah.
I'd rather sit at 7 or 8 and get my four and five or my 5 and 6 with Brock and Odunze at 7 and 8. Mm-hmm. Right. Because if you're sitting there, and by all means, I like Drake May. I actually like JJ McCarthy. I think he's a game manager plus upside type of quarterback, like that Kirk Cousins, that Jared Goff type of quarterback. And I think that you can get great value there. And if he's in Minnesota, don't get me wrong. Like, he's going to give you some good games. I comped in the Brock Purdy, the way he carries himself with that poise, that confidence. It's good to have in a young quarterback, and he's still just 21 years old. But if we fast forwarded 3 years from now and you told me Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, and Brock Bowers were all elite dynasty fantasy football assets, all top 2-round startup pick assets, mm-hmm. I would look at you and say, I know they are. Like, I don't need confirmation.
Yeah. And we were confident like that last year with five Gibbs, of the Newton. And the only one we missed on it was
JSN.
You
know,
it was JSN, and that's okay. Yeah, you know, you get into that area.
Bryce too. Bryce too. I mean, we still had him top 6.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we went 4 for 2, right? That's all that matters.
Here's what people don't understand is there's a difference between having a guy ranked somewhere and then owning that player.
Exactly.
Right? Like,
exactly.
I feel like ranks are values and that's okay. But there was no reason for you to say that you were going to take Jordan Addison over Bryce Young last year. Like, that just would have been foolish, right? Like, that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to give you the best values. But then in this, a show like this, we're telling you how to move from that value. So if you didn't like JSN last year, there was an opportunity for you to move back to 109, add a second, and get Dalton Kincaid. And I have Dalton Kincaid everywhere, you know. So you move into windows where you want. Now you're up to another window where now we got to choose either Brock Bowers, the best quarterback in the second best quarterback in the class.
Yeah, and this is where it gets so tough, because it's just like, if the quarterback does hit, the value is going to be crazy through the roof. But if you're looking at positional value, and if it's a 0.5 tight end premium or higher, I'm willing to take the swing on Brock there, especially if he goes to a Jets team, or if he goes to that type of team where he's going to immediately be a high-powered, used consistently, and it's a heavy tight end premium. But, I mean, if Drake May goes to Minnesota, or if you get Daniels in Minnesota, I'd take the upside swing there. But it's not what I take Jaden Daniels over, or Brock Bowers over Jaden Daniels. It's no, I will move back three spots and get something on top, so I don't feel like an idiot just taking my guy and sticking and picking, because I have done that before. I've stuck and picked confidently with Jahmyr Gibbs last year and it worked out, but I could have been a guy that gets him 106 like a lot of people were, and I was taking him 103, 104. I mean, I sleep fine at night. Like, I'm not keeping up over it. So, I mean, it's all about understanding the values in your draft. People are viewing it as there's a clear top eight. Your league's going to vary. There's going to be the guys that draft for value. There's going to be the guys that draft for team needs. There's going to be the guys that draft their favorite players. Mm-hmm. The three quarterbacks, like we saw it in 2021, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, all went top six in almost every single draft. And you got Waddle, you got Smith, you got Etienne, you got Pitts, you got these guys, Chase. I saw Chase 5, 4, 6 in drafts. So you're going to see a scenario like that this year where you're like, just because the quarterback goes top five in the NFL draft, they're going to go top five in your rookie drafts. And Snoog ain't one of those guys. I can tell you that for sure.
Well, I'm glad before I get my steal at 105, we're going to go with Brock Bowers is honestly the same kind of thing, generational. Right now, you talk about the 104, and this is something right now where people are asking me, and I'm saying I would prefer Sam Laporta over the 104, over Brock Bowers, but I don't think he's more talented than Brock Bowers. Yeah. Brock Bowers has to land with the Chargers, has to land with the Bengals. Sam Laporta landed in Detroit, which is a team that is going to utilize him. I would trade Brock Bowers only for two guys right now. I would trade him for Trey McBride,
yep,
or Sam Laporta. And I would only tier down to, if I'm tearing off Bowers, the only guys I really want to tier down to are Kyle Pitts and Dalton Kincaid. I think those are the only guys where I'm like, if I got a plus on top, I'd feel comfortable, you know, like, unless I tier way down, like, and I'm not really willing to do that. Those are the areas, maybe Mark Andrews, but you're getting a considerably older. At the four spot, I think you have a lot of options. Guys that I have comped right now at the 104, I have Trevor Lawrence, Sam Laporta, Chris Olave, Dak Prescott, Jonathan Taylor, all are worthy of that 104. So if you wanted to get out of those positions, those are some of the guys that you could move into at the 104, you know. And also, this is a spot where 104 to 106, you know, if you want one of those quarterbacks, you know you're going to get one. Now, if you move to 106, you move to 107, you know you're going to get one of the quarterbacks or a doomsday. You move to 108, again, you know you're going to get one of these guys. So now is the time to move from 104 to 108 and get a first, because now you're at a spot where maybe you didn't like McCarthy. He goes four and you get Drake May at eight plus a first. Like, that's how winning is done. That's how insulation is done. Start insulating now. At the 105, and I've had this guy as high as 103, but Jaden Daniels is that perfect dual threat quarterback, 6'4", just won the Heisman, 40 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. I know we talk about the late breakout on it. I know we talk about his age, almost going to be 24 years old, but that 885 rushing yards with 11 touchdowns is just undeniable that he's a guy that runs into 4.5, just effortless speed. If he's given time, if he goes to something, you know, like Lamar Jackson was a project, but he went to the right situation and everything worked. And I think Jaden Daniels has Lamar Jackson light upside. I think he's the highest ceiling between McCarthy, May, and him. I'm a little bit closer to May than I am McCarthy. But I think Jaden Daniels here at the 105 is someone that I would pull the trigger on. But if you look at the 105 right now, I have that equivalent of, say, a Brock Purdy. I have that equivalent pretty close to what I said with Dak Prescott. I have that in an area where I could move around to some of these guys. Snoog, what, you know me, what I'm ultimately going to do if I have Jaden Daniels is I'm going to add a late first and get Jalen Hurts. I'm going to move up and I'm going to get myself into a scenario where I'm going to get Anthony Richardson. I'm going to get CJ Stroud. I'm going to get Joe Burrow. I'm going to be comfortable when I put my head on the pillow in early May where I got a stud quarterback and I know he's going to be there. Mm-hmm. But if rebuilding, I got no problem taking a shot on Jaden Daniels. I think the upside is tremendous.
Yeah, there's definitely upside there with Daniels. And I mean, you can't deny what he just did on that LSU team. Heisman winner, 3,800 yards, 1,000 rushing yards, 40 touchdowns. Like, he lit the league on fire. And he's a talented player. He's that dual threat ability player that everybody wants to be good in the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. He's the most fun. He's that new shiny toy.
Let's say he goes to Minnesota. 102, smash for me. Like, really? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He's not going to go to Minnesota. But if that happens, and that's one of the few landing spots where I would say, you know what, if this is a 12 team, and that's a big difference, 10 team versus 12 team. You know, like, we got to talk about those things sometimes. But if this is a 12 team super flex or a 14 team, I'm strongly considering him at 2 if he goes to there. I like him at 3 if he goes to Washington. I hate it if he goes to New England. You know, I hate some of these other landing spots. But I think he goes to the right area with some weapons. He throws the prettiest deep ball I've seen in a long time. So the upside's there. I'm definitely in. A lot's going to change on his draft spot. I'm really interested to see what you say with the 106 here, because Odunze, McCarthy, May, there's so many different options.
Yeah, here I'm probably looking at Drake May or Rome Odunze. But what I want to say about Jaden Daniels is he's right now, I know keep trade cut's not everything. It's just like an overall idea of kind of where the market's at. QB 13, right above him, Trevor Lawrence, Kyler Murray, Jordan Love. If I am in the position to draft Jaden Daniels,
Hold on. Let's. I was looking at my ranking. Who else do they have there? Because that can't be.
Jaden Daniels, Trevor Lawrence, Kyler Murray, Jordan Love, and
I have
Caleb.
Kyler at 10, Love at 11. I have Daniels and Purdy at 13 and 14. I have Daniels over Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, Drake May. But like,
if I'm in that
cut, man, that's wild.
If I'm in the position where I have the 104, 105, and I know there's somebody out there that would be willing to move Kyler Murray, Trevor Lawrence, or Jordan Love to me for Daniels, and I have to add, I'm doing it. I don't care what. I'll add a second to go get Kyler Murray or Jordan Love. That's just where I'm at with that position. Yeah. So in that 4 to 5 range, I think you're kind of looking at the market is going to be QB territory there. So I think that's your opportunity to get your established, like, franchise top 12 quarterback in dynasty is right there in that 4, 5, and 6 range. Like, that's the meat and potatoes. Drake May, the Jaden Daniels, maybe even JJ if he goes to Minnesota. A lot of people are going to start to fall in love with him. There's even buzz about him going 2 to Commanders. So who really knows what's happening there? I think a lot of it's smoke screens. But Rome Odunze is a guy that I would be willing to literally take as high as 4, as high as 5 in this class, because like I said before, he is just one of those guys that when everybody in the stadium is looking, Daniel Jeremiah nailed this. Everybody knows that football is going Rome Odunze's way, whether it's third down, fourth down, first and 10. Like, he's just an elite wide receiver. And if it wasn't for Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers, he would have been wide receiver 1 last year, or at least 1B alongside JSN. He probably would have been fighting for 1 in 2022 right there with Garrett Wilson and Drake London. Like, he's that Drake London, Chris Olave type of prospect. He's a top 10 NFL draft pick. You can't draft Rome Odunze at 4 or 5 and be like, damn, I messed up. Like, I missed that pick. Like, I should have taken Drake May or Jaden Daniels. Because if Rome Odunze hits and he's a top 12 dynasty wide receiver, Drake May and Jaden Daniels can still hit and be top 15 dynasty quarterbacks. And you're still like, yeah, I got a top 12. I got a Chris Olave. I got a Drake London out of it. So I'm happy. So that's why I like to play devil's advocate with this range, right? Like, everybody's just going to tell you quarterback right after Marvin Harrison Jr. But like, you got to take advantage of who are the truly elite prospects and how can they be elite for your fantasy teams while also minimizing risks. Because you can always trade out of those picks. You could always go get Kyler. You could always go get Dak. Plus, And that's probably where I'm at. But like, if I'm stuck there and I need to make a pick, I'm probably taking Rome Odunze or Drake May there, 4 or 5 with Brock Bowers.
Yeah. You and I love it. We keep going back and forth on why we take quarterbacks versus wide receivers. The way I look at it is I have right now Tua and Devonta Smith are worth the same for me in Dynasty, where I think Tua is a guy that I have May higher. I have, you know, some of these other guys where you're looking at all the way down to, you know, your QB 17 versus wide receiver, like 14, 12, you know what I mean? So it's like, there are the wide receivers have to hit a little bit harder than the quarterbacks do, because Tua hasn't necessarily hit, but he's my QB 17, including the rookies that are in here, where the wide receivers have to hit a little bit. My
young Jared Goff.
Yeah, the thing that I'm starting to think of is like the 107 in most places is ranked lower than Michael Pittman, lower than DK Metcalf, lower than Tank Dell, lower than, you know, Rashi Rice, T. Higgins, and it's like, until that 107 becomes Rome Odunze, it's a different story. But I think I have Odunze closer to the DJ Moore, Jalen Waddle than I do the Michael Pittman, you know, Jordan Addison. So you could kind of flip that. You know, like the other day, someone offered me the 107 for T. Higgins, and I'm like, man, if that is Odunze, I think it's a win. You know, like there is a scenario where he goes to the Giants, or the, you know, like there's a situation where he goes to a wide receiver needy team where he gets 120 plus targets as a rookie. And I think that's in that realm of possibilities. You kind of took two guys there. So at the 107, I'm going to say you took Odunze there. I'll take Drake May. You know, like I think it should be the quarterback a little bit higher. I like May over McCarthy. I think May's ceiling is considerably higher than McCarthy. Is he have more of a bust potential? Potentially, right? Like if you're swinging for the fences, I think May has the biggest high risk, high reward. His ceiling is Justin Herbert. I could see that. If you told me that in 3 years from now, that's where we're at, I would be with you. His floor is considerably lower. He makes the big time throws, but the decision making isn't always there. And this is an area where if he would fall to 6 in my super flex leagues, where most people want a quarterback, now I'm trying to see what people want, right? Because the tier is about to end in their mind, where they're like, I got to jump in and get here. This is where you get Dak plus, even though Dak's worth more than the 106, right? Because you're cashing in on someone wanting that shiny new toy. They want that high upside, where you get Brock Purdy for, you know, for Drake May. You get those kind of situations. And Drake May could go to the Patriots. I know that's not a death sentence completely, but it's a matter of like, it's going to be really bad for a year or two, at least a year until they start getting some weapons. Now we move over to the 108. This is JJ McCarthy now. You've moved into that area. How high up? I mean, what are you doing with the 108? If you have McCarthy, I personally am just moving into 2025 and getting something on top. I think there's a scenario from the 108 where you get Bryce Young in a first. Like people get that kind of rookie fever, or maybe not Bryce Young, but like right in that same area where you get something that's worth a late first. A Saquon Barkley, a Kyle Pitts, a George Pickens plus a first for people wanting to get up in to get that last quarterback. Because sometimes that's the most aggressive that someone will be when it's the last one.
Yeah, and JJ is a guy, like I said, I think he's poised. I think he can make all the throws. A little bit raw. I saw him miss a lot of people, like overthrows, underthrows, when you really cut the game tape. But he's a guy that he's got escapability out of the pocket. He's 6'2". He's very tough player. He can run. He's mobile. He's a guy that, like, I think you got to look at him for what he is. If I sit, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's the next friggin' Joe Burrow, but he's a 21-year-old kid. He's got a lot of poise. He's a smart player. He knows how to win games. He knows how to be in those clutch situations and succeed. He's a guy, like, he's going to be a Jared Goff plus. He's going to be a Kirk Cousins plus. Like, he will get there where he's a guy that is a very good fantasy player. And you're getting him at 21 years old. I'm honestly, at this point, I'm sticking and picking there. I think the upside's worth it in the cost of acquisition at the 108 for a quarterback that is probably going top 5 in a lot of rookie drafts is there. I think I'm going to stick, pick, and kind of roll with that. But if I can turn it into a Dak Prescott, I'm going to. If I can turn him into a Brock Purdy, I'm going to. But if Minnesota, right, we won't even say Minnesota, because if Minnesota takes him, he's not going to be there at 8. If he goes to, let's say he falls, maybe Denver takes him, or maybe like New England moves back and takes him, or one of those teams where he's just blah in a blah situation. Like, I think it's almost worth it to just stick and pick there at 8 or maybe move back to 9 or 10 and get Brian Thomas Jr. or Xavier Worthy and let someone else take McCarthy. But like I said, I mean, he's a top 4 quarterback in this class. I have 4 quarterbacks that I think are starting caliber. Drake May is my QB2, Daniels 3, McCarthy 4 as of right now. Obviously, Caleb Williams is 1. I think it's all about if I look at it like, when I say QB1, QB2, QB3, QB4, I look at it like if I have to stick and pick and I have no way of trading, like I can't trade Drake May for Dak or I can't like do a trade like that, then that's the order I'm going to have those guys in. Because in most leagues, like how I'm operating behind the scenes is I'm turning those guys into Dak. I'm turning those guys into Purdy, turning those guys into Trevor Lawrence. And I think that's just the way to do it.
The most important thing to gain from this is Snoog and I don't – this is the biggest hit miss rate is at the quarterback position. So we're trying to mitigate risk. We're trying to get ourselves into a scenario where we are getting the prospect that we believe in the most, which both of us obviously is Caleb Williams. I've had a couple of you guys reach out and say, hey, I have 101, 104, 105, 106. I'm going to take all 4 quarterbacks. You know, like this is huge risk, huge reward if you're rebuilding. Because you could have said that in 2021 and you have Trevor Lawrence, you have Zach Wilson, you have, you know, like, you could have Mac Jones, Justin Fields, and who am I missing? Trey Lance. Like, I even forgot about it. He existed. Like, that's where you're at, you know? Like, also on the flip side, I mean, you could have it where it's Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, and Jalen Hurts. You know, so it's like high risk, high reward. If I'm in that 4 through 6, I want to mitigate that risk. I want to try to move around a little bit. I want to try to get myself into a scenario where I feel much more comfortable because, Snoog, there are a lot of people out there that said, you know what, I'm rebuilding. I got the 103. This is going to be great. I have Trey Lance as my quarterback. Set it and forget it for the next 10 years. Except you had to reset it the next year. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we have a Trey Lance scenario out of these 4. I think we have guys that are going to be solid Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff type floor on at least 3 of these guys. But that risk is still there. You know what I mean? So you got to go into that area. Moving to the 109. Gotcha. I'm okay with the 109 here. Right now I have Brian Thomas Jr. I think, you know, if he goes to Jacksonville or Buffalo or to the right scenario with someone with a big arm, tons of upside. Also, probably in my mind, probably the biggest bust potential, not Quentin Johnston bust potential, but I think he has shown us the least. You know, I mean, he blew up this year. He was phenomenal. Right now, if I have the 109, people are going to be excited to try to draft him when they get into that area. I would rather have, depending on where he lands, I would rather have Pittman, Addison, Rashi Rice, T. Higgins, Travis Etienne, Dalton Kincaid, you know, like guys in that area. I think I would much rather have one of those players than Brian Thomas Jr. before the draft capital. But again, this is where I say I'm moving back. And this blows my mind, but people are like, well, should I just move 109 for a 25 first? Why? No, not just one 25 first. If you know it's going to be a top 5 and that guy's just overzealous, okay, that's fine. But you always get something on top. I keep seeing so many people in startups trading, you know, their what would be the 111 in a startup for a random 25 first. No, you get the juice, man. You always get the juice. You go ahead and you get that. Okay, I'm going to move 109 for a 25 first plus, you know, a guy like, man, how far down do we go? Alvin Kamara, you know, like I'll do that. 204, now I get a running back because there's no running backs in this class that I like. I get a 25 first. Next year, he's going to supplement in there. A Deontay Johnson, you're like someone in that early second range. If I'm moving into next year for a random, I want to make sure I add some juice on there. 110, I left you boy Worthy. I left him for you there. Because this is where it gets tricky. After Worthy, it's like, ooh, I got a couple guys I like, but I think Worthy is still going to be that difference maker.
Yeah, I think once you get to 109, 110, 111, 112 is going to be 4 straight wide receivers here. And I have them all in a tier. I have them all in a tier. And I think it's Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, and Troy Franklin. You could sit in a room with me and 4 others and make an argument for any of them to be your wide receiver 4 in this class. I understand that. Troy Franklin stands out analytically. He's the best numbers guy out of this group. Same with Worthy. Thomas and Adonai Mitchell, those high upside, bigger, elite athletic wide receivers that win downfield, that have that more prototypical Alpha X style of play. But Xavier Worthy, like, he is different than, like, there's, like, say Marvin Harrison Jr., Neighbors, Rome Odunze, and then you take the four I just named. There is none of those guys that play how Xavier Worthy plays. He's elite in the short areas. He's a great route runner. He wins downfield with his 4.2 blazing speed. He's very long. He had ridiculous numbers jumping out the gym. Like, this is a guy that broke out as a true freshman on Texas with no QB. This is a guy that played with Quinn Ewers, who is not good at football, and I'm convinced by that, for 2 years and had only Quinn for part of 2022. 2,000-plus career receiving yards, 1,000 yards last year, even with Adonai Mitchell. And we're forgetting that Texas is a breeding ground for NFL talent. It's a factory. He's played with Bijan, Roshan, Jatavion Sanders, Adonai Mitchell. Like, you can just list it. The list goes on and on. So I'm chasing upside here at the 9-10 spot. Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy are my wide receiver 4 and 5 in this class as of right now. It is in a tier, so you could always look to move back. Like, when we're getting to tiers, it's splitting hairs, but I have the guys at the highest upside that I think are going to get the best draft capital out of this group as well. Top 20 potential draft picks out of Thomas and Worthy. That's going to be my 110 and 109 all day.
My 109 and 110 picks, if I can turn them into George Pickens, I'm doing it. I think Pickens is going to blow up this year. I'm really interested to see what you would do as far as trade partners. Like, what are some guys that you would be, you know what, I'm okay, you know, drop into this area. If I'm a wide receiver, I mean, would you be okay right now? You have the 110. Pickens or the 110?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without landing spots on this draft class, it's tough. Like, if Worthy goes to the Cowboys or something, like, I'd take Worthy. But I think Pickens, yeah, he's right there. I think I'd take him over 111 all day.
Debo.
I'd take Worthy.
Jaden Reed.
I'd take Worthy.
Yeah, I'm trying to sell Reed everywhere. I'm on that. Yeah. Jackson Smith and Jigba or Xavier Worthy.
Ooh.
I'm no longer debating the 107 and Jackson Smith and Jigba. I'm no longer debating the 108 and Jackson Smith and Jigba. We're now debating the 109 and Jackson Smith and Jigba. And it's like, if Brian Thomas goes to Jacksonville and Xavier Worthy goes to Buffalo, who do you want? Keep, trade, cut. Brian Thomas in Jacksonville, Xavier Worthy in Buffalo, or JSN in Seattle?
Keeping Thomas. I love the Jags landing spot. We saw what Trevor Lawrence did with Justin Ross and T. Higgins, 2 6'3", 6'4" wide receivers that win downfield consistently. He was absolutely phenomenal in college with those guys. He's used to that prototype. Brian Thomas Jr. to Jacksonville at 17. Lock it in. That's my favorite landing spot out of this group. And I've been talking about this landing spot for a while, and I think there's a very good chance it happens. They're missing that Alpha X guy that can win in that vertical role. They got Gabe Davis. They got Christian Kirk. You need that big body guy, that red zone target that they don't have. Evan Engram, guy underneath. Worthy in Buffalo would be a phenomenal compliment to Diggs. They finally get a guy that can win downfield consistently and not go for three catches, 100 yards, and then get zero catches the next game in Gabe Davis. So, I mean, it's landing spots, right? Like, if this happens, they're locked and loaded, 109 and 110.
Who are you cutting, though?
Definitely cutting the last guy.
Oh, you can't even say his name. That's where you're like, I can't. It just hurts too much. Yeah. All right, we'll move on to 111. For me, 111 for me right now is Adonai Mitchell. I liked Franklin early. I'm falling in love with Adonai Mitchell lately. You look at his 11'4" broad jump. Talk about explosiveness. I mean, like, his vert was 39.5. Ran a 4.33 40 at 6'2", 205. This is a weird one, right? Because, like, his production, his athleticism is ridiculous. I think you said it about Worthy. I think we have two Texas wide receivers who do better in the pros than they did in college because they get a legit quarterback. They go to the right system. I saw him go into Carolina the other day, and I love that. With Deontay Johnson on one side and then an explosive wide receiver like Adonai Mitchell at pick 33, I think would be a nice fit there. And I think this is an area where you were not on it. I am kind of, if you give me Jaden Wright, Trey Benson, or Blake Corum to Dallas, I might forego the wide receivers. I know it's like not the best principle. I'm not saying like it was Clyde Edwards-Helaire where I'm going to move him up to 101, but in Dallas, I think I would take any of those three running backs over Mitchell or Franklin if that's what we see. It has to be those three. I'm not debating anymore.
I feel like we're going back to like the George Pickens versus James Cook days where people were taking James Cook late first over Pickens. Yeah. So.
And he was RB12 though. You know what I mean? So it worked out. It wasn't horrible. James Cook is a very good comp for the best running back in this class. Like that he would be, you know what I mean? Nah, and if you're at the 111, you can get James.
I don't think he would be.
Cook for the 111 right now. And he's in Buffalo with the prime situation. Dallas is that prime situation. I honestly think I would take one of the three running backs as much as I love Mitchell, but that's where we're at. And if you want to trade for a running back in this situation, you get James Cook, you could get Rashad White, you could get, you know, you could add a little bit to move up for Saquon or move up to one of those guys. I mean, there's so many different opportunities. Me personally, if I'm not digging the situation here and I need a running back, we talked about it on the last show, I'm going to try to get a random 25 first and James Conner. Yeah. Like that's just what we do all day.
Yeah. And we're at the 12 spot now just to finish it off. What I would go is Troy Franklin here. I mean, it's a tier, like I said, Thomas, Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, and Troy Franklin. This is the numbers guy in this group, right? Like this is the guy with the higher floor than Thomas and Adonai Mitchell. Like this is a guy that checked every box analytically. He was great production wise every year, early breakout age, early declare, checks every box you want. Analytics guys love him. Wide receiver 4 or 5 for a lot of the analytics guys. He's a guy that I think he's like a Jordan Addison type for me. Like that's my comp for him. I think he's that guy that would do great in the number two role. I have a lot of struggle seeing him operate as the team's wide receiver one. Like I just don't see a world or a scenario where he is the team's one. I don't think he can get there like a Thomas or maybe an Adonai Mitchell could eventually develop into, but like I think Worthy is better at Troy Franklin's game than Troy Franklin is. And that's why I have Worthy over him, right? Like he's a better vertical threat. He's a more nuanced route runner. He's more consistent downfield. Troy Franklin is a great player. Like he has great hands. He can track the ball well. Worthy's a better ball tracker. Worthy's younger. Worthy had the breakout age at 18. Mm-hmm. He has a better production profile. Like, these are the things you want to look for, and that's why I have him above Franklin, right? Because I think they're both number twos, but one has 4.2 speed and has better draft capital coming his way than a guy that I've seen Franklin mock to, like, the Saints in the second round and stuff. Like, I don't want to see him go play behind Chris Olave in a terrible situation. I've seen people say he's the Josh Downs of this class. I think he's a better player than Josh Downs by a lot, but I could see him falling a bit under the radar just with like I think Adonai Mitchell is that 6 wide receiver that goes round one. I personally have a round one grade on Troy Franklin, but I don't know if the NFL does.
And he's perfect for Buffalo and some of those other teams.
He'd be phenomenal there.
I love it. This was fun. You know, the draft position physicians, you know, we diagnose what's going on right now. You know, I put this out there for you guys that are rebuilding. Hit me up. I put a tweet out the other day. This is the time to really start to get into the Patreon, honestly, because you're going to understand how we think about these things. We're going to make trade suggestions. We're going to help you guys out with the values. We're going to help you guys out with who to pick. Snoog's got his rankings in there. I have mine. We're starting to really put it together where, you know, they aren't just names anymore. They're going to be draft profiles into an actual position. You're going to want to know ahead of your league mates of where those windows are and those things like that. So make sure you guys check that out. Honestly, right now you can get in on the lowest tier for less than 20 cents a day. Like you get in there and you're going to have some sharp people to talk shop with. People are talking 24/7. We got you back for your rookie drafts, and we're going to have rookie draft assistance for some of the higher up Patreon groups. So, I mean, it's win-win, even if it's an area where Snoog, every draft, you and I would know what we're talking about, but I'm on the clock and I say, hey, what do you think of this guy? Even if it's just validation, we're here to help. So can't wait for draft season.
Exactly. And just like you said, I mean, the Patreon's great just for building connections, community, getting better at fantasy football in general. I had a guy reach out to me just, hey, like I've been a big fan of your content, you and Dad. I'd love to see more, hear more about your Patreon. I'm looking for a way to find more advice for trading because I struggle in that aspect. I went into the Patreon. I screen recorded a video of just the trades that everyone has asked the past day and a half and the advice that we've given back, us and a lot of the other members. It was like a 17-second video of me scrolling. That's how active it is. That's how many people are just pumping out trade advice, asking questions, getting answers from me, Dad, other analysts and moderators in the chat, and 200 other plus community members. So this is why the value is here. It's not just here are my rankings. It's you're connecting with many other people. You're talking to 200 plus members. You're getting in leagues with these people. You're building those connections. And that's what's important in this industry. And that's what makes it the most fun.
Yeah. And it's not just a bunch of dads, man. I mean, there are multiple, there's, you know, people as young in there as 18. I know there's a couple in that are old, as old in there as 62, you know, there's men, there's women, it's just great. You know, like it's like a community where we're all just talking about what we really love. That's fantasy football. That's trades. So thanks again for tuning in, guys, and enjoy the process. Man, I've had to go to the bathroom.